You're listening to Raven, the talk show made on Women Talk Radio.
Women power! Yeah, yeah. You unstoppable woman, it's your time to shine. Boom, women, turn your life around. Girl, you got the power, there's no you can't achieve. Can't nobody stop you.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the new Women Power Talk Radio, the show that celebrates you, the woman over 40, hey, just like me who once wanted a life, and you guessed it, we are determined to get it. And now Women Power Radio is not just for the women over 40, but it's also for us boomer women and the men who love them. So we invite you each and every week to join us as we bring you another unstoppable women of power, and from time to time we'll sprinkle a men of power too. How about that? Today we are so delighted because we are wrapping up our four-week series on abuse. We dealt with emotional abuse, financial abuse, and now today we're going to be talking about domestic violence, and we have a very, very special guest that I am just truly, truly delighted to have. Her name is Denise Brown. For those of you that do not know Denise, I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. June 12th of 1994, Denise Brown's life was changed forever, it really was, after the murder of her sister, Nicole Brown Simpson. Now, prior to that day, if you were to ask Denise to describe herself, you would have heard her say, "I'm just a mom from Laguna Beach." Well, I got to tell you, now Denise is on a mission as an advocate of domestic violence. Since early 1995, Denise Brown has traveled to various states speaking on the epidemic of domestic violence. She has addressed universities, student bodies, men in prison, and in batterers treatment programs, women at risk, church groups, and various educational and legislative forums. She also committed to raising awareness against domestic violence, a crime, get this, that kills three women every day in the United States. Denise is not only an advocate for domestic violence, she's also an author and a chairman of the board of Nicole's House. And she's going to share some of that with us about Nicole's House. Denise has helped raise funds for local shelters all across the country with her appearances and has assisted in the success of major projects called the Vine System. This program is an automated victim notification service of the release of batterers from jail or prison. You know, as part of her commitment, Denise has worked to help pass a variety of legislative solutions for domestic violence. One of her most important projects was to lobby on behalf of the Violence Against Women Act. You can find out more about Denise by going to denisebrown.com. But right now, let's bring this dynamic, unstoppable woman of power on. Denise, I'm so thrilled to have you here. Welcome to Women Power Talk Radio.
Hey, Raven, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Prior to that tragic event, June 12th, Denise, what was your life like before then?
Oh, my gosh. I was raising my son. I was a mom. I am a mom. I was in sales. I was selling clothing antiques. I was selling, hair products. I was a sales rep for hair products. I was just working my whole life pretty much. Mm-hmm. Ever since I was 15, I was working. Nicole and I, our first jobs were actually, the kids that sell the flowers on the corners,
uh-huh.
The street corners?
Yeah.
So Nicole and I, we used to wrap those flowers.
Wow, really?
Back when I was like 15 years old and she was 14. Yeah, 14, 15, 16. We wrapped those flowers. We used to do all-nighters for Mother's Day. Because Mother's Day was the biggest day for selling those flowers on the street corners. You know, guys that didn't, or people that didn't pick up a present or gift for mom, they'd always grab a thing of flowers. And that was like the busiest day. And Nicole and I, we would stay there all night. My mother would come down, bring us some soup, in those big containers, and so that we would stay warm. And, there was a whole group of us. And it was fun. But I've been working ever since I was 15 years old.
My goodness, yeah. Just a little entrepreneur at heart.
Well, you know what? I don't know. I guess you could call it that. But I've never been one to do a 9-to-5 job. I've always had to be, you know, pretty much independent. So when I did the cosmetics, that was independent. When I did the hair products, that was pretty much independent. I could do my own hours. So I've always been like that. It's always had to be pretty an independent kind of person as far as work schedule and things. And then, of course, when I had my son, yeah, I had to be. I was at home for 3 years after my son was born, you know, being a stay-at-home mom.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just thought it was really crucial for me to be there, you know, to raise my son.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And, yeah, and then when I did start working, it was when he was at daycare, and he was actually in school at the age of three, started preschool. And then, you know, I was able to do my work, but I would only do it for the 3 hours or 4 hours that he would be at school, and that would be it. Because I just really wanted to see my kid grow. I wanted to put this child on this earth, and I figured, you know what, I am going to be here, and I'm going to watch him grow, and I am going to be the mother that I'm supposed to be and, you know, teach him and do everything that I felt like I needed to do for him, for him to grow up to be a great child, you know, a great young man like he is today. He's 22.
He's 22. And I see your son's, is Sean? Is that his name?
His name is Sean, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great, 22.
Yeah, he's a real entrepreneur.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a real entrepreneur. He's got, at the age of 22, I mean, he's already got like 5 or 6 different businesses that he's doing.
Oh, my goodness.
And very successful. So I told him, I said, honey, I said, I'll do the nonprofit side of this. You do the for-profit, and hey, we've got everything covered.
You got it covered, right?
Yeah.
Well, he inherited, obviously, naturally from both you and Nicole. Now, you're, what, a year younger than Nicole or older?
No, I was the oldest.
Oh, you were the oldest.
I was the oldest. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And Nicole and I, we were less than 2 years apart in age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a year and about, I don't know, 10 months. And, you know, we were like the two little musketeers. We would run around, and if one of us was mad at somebody, the other one was mad at somebody. I mean, that's just how close we were.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, you guys were almost like twins when you look at the two of you, look at the picture of her and look at the picture of you. I bet you guys probably tricked a few guys in your time, huh?
Well, you know, it's really funny that you could say that, because some people think that we look exactly alike.
I know.
And other people think that we look nothing alike.
Really? Oh, my
yeah.
goodness.
Hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, it's just really kind of funny, but, yes, we were really close, and, you know, and that's when June 12th, 1994 happened. I mean, it was devastating, not just to lose a sister, but to lose her in such a horrific way,
mm-hmm.
and then to find out, you know, because my dad found the notes and diaries that she left behind, then to find out that she was so abused.
Yeah.
For 17 years of her life, you know, the verbal, the emotional, and the physical abuse that she endured. And we learned about it from there. And, you know, Raven, that's why I always talk about the cycle of domestic violence, because the cycle of domestic violence is so important, because I testified to an incident at the criminal trial where he threw her up against the wall, and then he threw the two of us out of the house. Actually, there were three of us there. He threw us out of the house. And then I took Nicole to the hotel, and we spent the night at the hotel. And then the next day she said, Denise, I got to go and get some clothes. And I said, okay, I'll go with you. And she said, no, don't worry about it. He's not going to be there anyway. And like an hour went by, 2 hours, 3 hours, I finally called her, and I said, Nick, are you okay? And she says, oh, yeah. She goes, you know what? Everything's okay. Everything's done. Everything's all worked out.
Mm.
And I said, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But you know, Raven, that's where I went wrong. I can't even say I went wrong, because I can't blame myself for something I didn't know about.
Right.
I didn't know that there was a cycle of domestic violence, so I thought it was an isolated incident, and I never saw anything again. You know, and then I sit there, and as I learned about the cycle of domestic violence, the power and control of one human being over another, the verbal, the emotional, the psychological abuse, the put-down, chipping away at your self-esteem,
mm-hmm.
you're stupid, you're ugly, you're worthless, nobody's going to want you. That escalates into the physical violence, the hitting, the kicking, the punching, throwing up against walls. And then there's the honeymoon phase. The old baby, I'm so sorry.
Oh,
never
can
happen again, right?
Mm-hmm.
The gifts, the flowers, the excuses. Well, it's that cycle of violence that I didn't know anything about. And it's that cycle of violence that everybody needs to know about. And that's why I am so adamant about talking about the cycle of violence to educate people about this because I didn't know about it.
And we are also glad that you're doing that because you're right. I have friends that have been abused. I've been abused in my lifetime, and my friends didn't know it. And I've seen, or I thought, well, you know, this reminds me what I see her going through, reminds me what I went through. But either I was too afraid to just ask her about it or I just ignored it. And of course, you know, people hardly ever say, yeah, I'm being abused. They're going to fight that, and they're going to ignore all the red flags. Why do you think that is?
Well, okay, this is, it's really interesting because in my travels, because I've been all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone from Australia, all across Canada, all across our country, into Europe. I've done radio shows in South Africa and South America. I've pretty much, I mean, covered the globe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's three things that I have learned from victims of domestic violence, and this is something that they all have in common: hope, shame, and fear. The hope that things are going to get better the way they used to be when they first met this person.
Mm-hmm.
The shame of not wanting anyone to know, not your best friend, not a family member, nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fear of where am I going to go, what am I going to do, and especially if there's children involved.
Mm.
So those are three things that victims of domestic violence have common. Yep, hope, shame, and fear.
Let me ask you, Denise, why do you feel you were so committed to be an advocate for domestic violence after the death of your sister, Nicole?
You know what? It's funny that you even asked that because that's not something that I chose.
It chose you.
Mm-hmm. It chose me, mm-hmm. exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I said that kind of catapulted me into this, I said, if OJ's so innocent, why is he trying to suppress all the evidence?
Mm.
That's the only thing I ever said.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, and that just all of a sudden, everybody just started asking me all kinds of questions. People started saying, talking about domestic violence. I knew nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Raven, I was the first one to come out and say, no, Nicole is not a battered woman.
Yeah, I remember. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, Nicole's not a battered woman. And then there was a representative out here, and she's still a representative. Her name is Sheila Kuehl. And I sat down, and I had lunch with her, and I was sitting across the table from her, and she goes, I knew that the two of us would be talking one day and that you would be eating your words. And I said, oh, my God. Because, you know, after Nicole's murder, we found the notes in the diary, and that's what we took to a shelter. To Human Options here in Laguna Beach. We
mm-hmm.
used to be here in Laguna. Took the notes and diaries, and I asked all the why questions. Why did she stay? Why didn't she leave? Why didn't she let me know? You know, all those same questions. And when my mom and I, we went over there and we talked to these guys, they started educating me about domestic violence. They gave me the fact sheets. They gave me the books to read. They started my education. But my real education started when I started traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started talking to the women and children in the shelters.
Yeah, hearing more stories of it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, they were the only ones that could educate me because I couldn't ask Nicole anymore.
Right.
Nicole was already gone.
Mm-hmm.
So after I said, no, Nicole's not a bad woman, I started realizing, oh, my God, that's where the shame comes in. She, as close as we were, she still didn't want me to know because statistics show that a victim of domestic violence will go back to the abusive relationship 7 to 10 times before they actually leave.
Oh, isn't that interesting, really?
Yeah, they go back to the abusive situation, and then, you know, I mean, I've heard stories from victims of domestic violence, from even, you know, people that have gone through it that have actually left the situation. One woman, she was telling me, she said, my husband beat me 7 times. He always used the excuse of, oh, baby, I'm drunk, I'm so sorry, I couldn't help it. And then she told me, she says, the 8th time he beat me, he wasn't drunk. And that's when she finally decided to leave him because she knew it was all a lie. So there's stories like that that I heard, and that's the kind of stuff that would educate me. That's how I started learning. And then, of course, Denise, who has to know more and more and more, I had to go to the batterer treatment program.
Mm-hmm.
I had to talk to the guys there because I needed to understand why they did this kind of stuff. I went to men's prisons. I went to Rikers Island in New York. I had to go talk to them, and I needed to understand why they did it. And then I even went to women's prisons. And Raven, I'm telling you, it was the saddest thing. When I went in there, there were girls that were 19 years old that were in prison for 25 to life because they were in there defending their own lives.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's
terrible.
And
that to me is sad because mm-hmm. you know you have the guys in there for a slap on the wrist, or they go to jail for a few mm-hmm. months or whatever, and then the women had a harsher sentencing than the men did, which was really interesting for me.
That is so sad, but again, because, you know, they still have that hope, and because they have that shame, and because they have the fear, they didn't share with anyone that they were
exactly.
going through abuse, so they don't really have nothing on record, so to speak.
Well, and they didn't have anything on record, mm-hmm. and what they did is they took the law into their own hands.
Mm.
And that's what, there's a girl that I'm working with right now, and she did a documentary, and it's called Sin by Silence. Her name is Olivia Kraut. And it's really interesting because I'm watching this, and it's about women in prison for defending themselves that are in there. They were supposed to get like 7 to 10 years or something. I mean, they've been in prison for over 20 years of their life. There was one woman in there at the age of 40. She killed her husband, and she's been in there, and she's 60-something years old now.
Isn't that interesting? I'm glad you brought that up because I was just thinking, I wonder how many people, or do you run across very many victims or survivors of abuse that are boomer women, you know, in their 45, 50, 60 years old. So.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I mean, I thought, oh, gosh, all the time. The elder abuse. Oh, I just ran into a woman, actually. It was within the last couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
she told me, she says, I was married to my husband for 50 years. It was over 50 years she was married to her husband, and she was a victim of abuse. And I asked her, and I said, are you okay now? Are you out of it now? And she said, yes, because he died last year.
Oh, my goodness. So all those years. Wow.
And she never left the abusive relationship.
Mm-hmm.
He finally died, and that was how she got out of her abusive relationship. And I go, oh, my God, that is so sad. So her whole life, all she knew was abuse. And she said, I came here to meet you, to see you talk, because you have the strength that I wish I would have had. And I thought, oh, my God, that is so sweet. But, yeah, I felt so bad for her because she had been living this nightmare for 50-something years.
Took the death of the man for her
yeah.
to get out of it.
Because,
again, hoping, fearing, and what was the other one?
There's the hope, the shame, and the
yeah,
fear.
Yeah, the shame.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you say you went, you know, you went through all these different, you went to find out from prison why people are battered, and you went through the process of most people when they have to go through healing to find out, okay, what's these people's story? Why do they stay in it? This is the new Women Power Talk Radio, the show that's designed with the boomer woman in mind and the man who loves them. My name is Raven Blair Davis. I'm the host of the show. We're going to take a quick second for a commercial break. Back right after this.
It is no secret that improving your credit can help improve your life. 50 Ways to Love Your FICO is an instantly downloadable book that will show you how to improve your FICO credit score so that you can better qualify for loans, save money, reduce credit card interest, and help you feel more secure in these troubled financial times. Go to www.love-your-fico.com and get the book that will help you become a credit survivor in 2009.
How would you like to have a sexy new body that is absolutely captivating? A posture that will exude self-confidence and still be able to eat your chocolate? Pilates and chocolate, taking balance and control into every area of your life, starting from the inside out. Hi, I'm Kathleen Pagnini. In this new DVD, learn the techniques that you can use in every day of your life, from sitting at a computer, driving your car, or even shopping. It's about you, the real you that is screaming to come out. It will help you build on your strengths, master and control your cravings while you sculpt and reform your body in less time with better results. Pilates and Chocolate, a new body, a new awareness, and a sweet life. La Dolce Vita. PilatesandChocolate.com. Appropriate for all ages.
You're listening to Raven, the talk show made on Women Talk Radio.
Women Power! Yeah, yeah. I gotta ask you this. What did you find is the actual cause of the domestic violence and battering?
It's the power and control. It's all about power and control of one human being over another. And, you know, they will say it's, you know, they'll use the excuses like I was saying earlier about the alcohol, which is just an excuse. They'll say, oh, God, I got angry. Well, angry people don't always beat their spouses or verbally have to put them down. You know, everybody can get angry. I can get angry, but that doesn't mean I'm going to go beat somebody up or go kill somebody. You know, people just use those excuses. And domestic violence is about power and control. That's as plain and simple as I can put it.
Now, did you find that most of the ones that were doing the battering had been victims of it themselves?
Well, it's a learned behavior. Domestic violence is a learned behavior.
Okay.
So
if they see it, then they're picking it up.
They're picking it up. Mm-hmm. But there are cases like my family where Nicole was not. That Nicole had never, we never even heard my parents yelling at each other.
Mm-hmm.
They never raised their voices at each other. So we didn't know about domestic violence. It was not in our family,
right.
But it was in his family.
It was?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that power and control and all that was in his family, so which was pretty dysfunctional. So that's why he brought it into Nicole. Nicole met him when she was 18 years old, you got to remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, she was very young and very vulnerable and, you know, just wanted to have the white picket fence. She wanted to be married. She wanted to have children. And she's got two beautiful children, you know, and that's all she wanted in her life.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't know what she was getting into. You know, he was much older than her. But, you know, I mean, it was a relationship that she picked, that she wanted. And, you know, when there were good times, there were great times, and when there were not so good times, there were not so good times, and there were horrific times. But, you know, I was always happy for my sister. When she was happy, I was happy for her.
Of course, yeah.
You don't ever think that somebody who can be in your life for so long and for so many years, 17 years, could end up ever doing something so horrific.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you never ever think that. So you always think that, you know, you've got, you just never know. You just don't know. And that's why when I would talk about domestic violence and I talk about our society, I mean, I'll even go to the extreme of, you know, why does our society put people on pedestals that we have no idea who they are? You know, we put these sports figures up on pedestals, and they're capable of just about anything, just like any other human being.
Yeah, sports figures, celebrities, all of them. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And we put these people up on pedestals. So, so what if they can throw a ball further than I can? So what if they can shoot more baskets or a baseball player can hit a ball? But our society puts these people up on pedestals just because they can do these things that, you know, you have to sit there and kind of, you know, rethink who we're going to be putting up on pedestals.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know. What happened to scientists and, you know, these people that do these wonderful things, you know, people that do these things for our environment, people that do, you know, that can, I don't know, you know, like these wonderful people, not just somebody that can throw a ball or hit a ball or do something like that, but, I mean, people that we know. Teachers, you know, if you know of maybe a teacher that has done, like, an incredible thing, put that person up on a pedestal.
Yeah.
You know, get to know these people that we're putting up on pedestals before we put them up there.
Yeah, well, you know, we really shouldn't be putting anybody up on a pedestal, period,
yeah,
so you're right.
I love to look up to my mom and dad and think that, you know, my mom is such a wonderful individual, and I will put her up on a pedestal because, you know what, she kept our family together through a tragedy.
Yeah.
She is the type of person that, you know, she had to deal with the man that murdered my sister because of two children. And I put her up there on that pedestal because, you know what, I don't know if I could do it. And she is such a better person than I am.
How's your mom doing now?
Oh, she's great.
Oh, that's wonderful.
She's great. She's always got this outlook on life that is so positive, and I just sit there and
amazing.
I just go, God, it's so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my dad's getting older, and You know, you sit there and you just go, he's 85 years old now.
Oh,
and
really?
You got to just love him, you know. You just got to. Those are the types of people that you want to put on pedestals. People
there you
that
go.
Can teach you. Mm-hmm. People that can love you. People that can do these incredible things that you just go, wow. Those are the type of people that you want to put up on pedestals.
Yeah. And you know what? Speaking of, you know, putting sports figures and you know, celebrities and people on pedestals, do you feel that may be why domestic violence seems to be growing in our society rather than diminishing?
No, yeah, I don't really believe that it's growing. I just think
that's good news.
More people are coming forward because we do have laws and things in place.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting the education and the awareness out there to communities.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe that people are coming forward now because there is more of a there's more talk about it.
Uh-huh.
It's not so taboo anymore. You know, it used to be that dirty little secret that nobody wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Yes, the shame is still there, but that dirty little secret is kind of, you know, we're kind of chipping away at that so that people can come forward.
Uh-huh.
You know, law enforcement, they have the mandatory arrest policies now. Judges, hopefully, I mean, that's one area of this whole picture that we have to work on more because they think sometimes that they can make the best decisions and their decisions are final and their decisions are right on, and half the time they don't even know what domestic violence is, you know, which is kind of a sad thing because they shouldn't be making those kind of decisions in a victim of domestic violence life. But, you know, all in all, people are becoming more and more educated, and the awareness is getting out there more. So I think people are feeling, you know, more comfortable about coming out and coming forward. We're getting the information about shelters out there more.
Oh, yeah, that is definitely getting out there more.
Yeah,
that's a good thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where they're safe, they are safe havens. They're not dormitory-style
mm-hmm.
shelters where all cops are all lined up in a row, where, you know, a family will have their own room. With you know, a woman will have their own room with her children, and that's the kind of things that that victims of domestic violence need to know about, because shelter always sounds so scary to a victim and to anybody, really. And so we want them to know that they are safe havens, they are safe houses, they are places where you can go and you can recover and you can learn and you can become empowered. Your self-esteem will be raised. They've got different programs that you can go through so that your children, they may have seen a lot of it, or maybe they are victims of child abuse, where
mm-hmm.
they can go and they can get help and they can get the counseling that they need. I mean, some of these programs are just absolutely awesome.
Yeah. And can you think of, before we go into commercial break, is there maybe one or two that you can throw out there just in case there's someone out there listening right now that needs some assistance themselves, or they know someone and they're saying, I think I better check on my friend. And is there any way you can direct them or any place you can direct them to?
Oh, the National 24-Hour Domestic Violence Hotline is the number to always give out.
Okay.
It's 1-800-799-SAFE.
1-800. Okay,
789-SAFE.
Okay,
yeah.
Wonderful.
And this is a number that everybody should know, everybody should have in their memory bank just in case, because they have got information of every shelter around the country.
Oh, fabulous.
And they are wonderful, and they will help. And they're in Austin, Texas.
Oh, okay. Not too far from me. Wonderful.
Yeah. And just an amazing program. They've got a teen program now. They've got a teen hotline. But the 24-Hour Domestic Violence Hotline is the number to call for any kind of help that you need. They're wonderful.
Fabulous. Denise, you spoke earlier about the cycle of abuse, and I know how important that is. So I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, if you can elaborate a little bit on that for those that may not be familiar about what the heck a cycle of abuse is.
Well, it's about power and control.
Mm-hmm.
It's about one human being needing to control another human being. You know, like I said, there's the verbal, emotional, and psychological abuse. It's all the put-downs, the mm-hmm. chipping away at somebody's self-esteem. But, you know, when I've talked to women, victims of domestic violence, they always say that is the most damaging, the verbal, emotional, you know,
mm-hmm.
the stupid, you're stupid, you're stupid, you're stupid. You hear that over and over again. You start believing you're stupid.
Oh, yeah, I think I told you, I went through that, you know, in my second marriage, and it was mine was emotional, and I'm telling you, it destroyed me for years. I had to finally just say, you know, I am not
a victim of my circumstance anymore. Step out of that situation. It's gone. You know, years after I left him, I still carried the weight of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's exactly what victims tell me. They say it's those words, it's those put downs, mm-hmm. That chipping away at the self-esteem that just stays with them forever. And, you know, the physical violence, the bruises go away. So sometimes these women, they tell me that they would rather be hit than being put down, constantly put down, like thinking that they're nobody. Mm-hmm. They know they're going to get hit anyway. So they just go, God, if we could just, you know, you hear that expression, walking on eggshells?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah,
and
I know.
And can we
mm-hmm.
just get it over with?
Yeah.
Because you know what's going to happen. But, you know, I mean, there's a lot to the cycle of domestic violence also, not just the verbal, emotional, psychological, the physical, and then the honeymoon phase. There's also sexual abuse. There's also intimidation. There's isolation, you know, isolation being who you talk to,
mm-hmm.
You know, controlling what you do, what you read, isolating their outside involvement with their friends and their family.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one right there.
Oh, it's a huge mm-hmm. one, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I even met a woman who was isolated from society for 10 years.
Ooh.
There was foil, aluminum foil, put on her windows.
Oh my
covering
goodness.
All her windows for 10 years of her life, she lived like that, and finally she was able to escape. And I met this woman, and I thought, oh, my goodness. And I just couldn't even believe some of the horrific things that these people say,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then there's the financial abuse, which is huge also.
Yeah, we had a guest on Elon Bilani just last week, and she spoke about how her husband just, you know, cut everything off on the bank account, you know, just started messing with her in those different ways financially, you know.
Yes,
and she was a highly educated person, and still, like she said, you know, it doesn't matter about how many doctors or initials you have in front or behind your name. Abuse affects all kind of women.
It absolutely does. It has no socioeconomic boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't care if you're black or white, rich or poor, gay mm-hmm. or lesbian, Democrat or Republican, or what religion you are.
Oh, you mean if I'm a Republican, it can't help? No, I'm just kidding.
There you go. I'm telling you. No, you know why? You know why I put that in there?
Mm-hmm.
Because when I went to Congress,
mm-hmm.
and I've been up there, and I've been up there a couple of times, but all of a sudden I was up there, and I was talking about a domestic violence bill that they were trying to get passed, and all of a sudden these guys started talking about a road. A street, right?
Uh-huh.
And I said, what are they talking about? Why are they talking about a street when we're here talking about domestic violence? I didn't get it. All of a sudden, somebody explained it to me. Well, to get a bipartisan vote on an issue that for the victims of domestic violence, this guy wanted to get this road put into some place, and that was the only way that you were going to get bipartisan vote. If you linked a street on with a victim's life.
My
I was
goodness.
Appalled.
Oh,
when
my goodness.
I was appalled.
I
couldn't
bet.
Believe it. It was like, what the hell am I doing here? Excuse
mm-hmm.
my language.
No.
But I couldn't believe it. I just said, is that what our lives, is that what we have come to? I mean, we're like a street. We're like pavement. We don't mean anything.
Hmm.
Yeah, I just couldn't believe it.
Hmm.
So, you know, I mean, with the highly educated or anything, it doesn't matter. Rich or poor, doesn't matter. Victims of domestic violence who come from a lot of money, you know, they live in this 10,000-square-foot home,
mm-hmm.
they have an income of millions and millions of dollars. Can I tell you how poor that victim would be if she left that situation? Because the batterer is always in control.
Oh, yeah, always, and so always waving that in their face. Mm-hmm.
Right, so mm-hmm. so when somebody tells a victim who of domestic violence who comes from an upper-class income, they tell her, oh, sorry, you need to go to a hotel or something because you live in this area and you're very wealthy. Baloney, because they're not. They are just as poor as the poorest person because they don't control their finances.
Wow.
And they need just as much help. It doesn't matter what economic background you come from, what financial status you come from. You are just as poor as the next one because they control your finances. They
mm-hmm.
control all your money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to go to them for every little thing.
Yeah, so,
and give a full explanation, not just can I get it, but exactly what you're going to spend it on.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Are you kidding?
Sounds familiar. I've been there.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. You know, and what we want to do is we want to get back to not power and control. We want to get to equality.
That's what I want to talk to you about now.
Yeah.
What can we do? We know what causes all this and everything. And I know just from you talking about you speak all over the world, so I'm assuming this is something that's just not a problem in the U.S. It's everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So what can we do?
This is everywhere.
Mm-hmm. What can we do to help our friends, to help our family? I mean, they haven't quite said 100% that this may be it, but they're kind of hinting to domestic violence may have been part of what happened with Jennifer Hudson's family, you know. I'm in Houston, and this happened to a lady a couple weeks ago, and her two children, I think 7 and 14, where a boyfriend, you know, kill them all. So this enough is enough. How can we stop this madness? I mean, what can we do?
It is enough. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
Educate yourself on the issue of domestic violence.
Everybody, whether you're going through it or not, it's time to get involved, right?
It is. It's still time to get involved. It's time to get educated. You know, don't wait until it's too late, until it affects a family member of yours. You need to get involved right away. You need to learn about the cycle of domestic violence. I think that is the best way to educate yourself about the issue of domestic violence, is learn about the cycle, learn about everything that it entails, you know, the financial, the sexual, the... And then I always tell people, support that person that is coming to you. Don't tell them that, no, there is no way that this could be happening to you because this person is so charming, they would never do something like that. No, if somebody is coming to you, they're at their last rope. They are in desperate need for help, you know, because they usually keep it that dirty little secret. They usually keep it a secret because they are too ashamed, because they know that they're going to go back to this person, because they already have gone back to that person. So when they do come to you, they don't know what else to do because they know it's either going to be their life or his life. You know, I mean, they get so desperate, and that's when they're going to come to you. So don't disregard what they're saying to you. Please don't. Believe what they're telling you, because no matter how charming that person is, they are capable of doing something like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's myths about domestic violence, and one of them is that abusers are abusive 24 hours a day, 52 weeks a year.
No.
They're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can be very charming until you do something or say something or don't say anything that sends them into a complete rage.
Oh, yeah.
So believe that person. Believe them when they come to you and say, listen, this is what's happening to me. This is what's happening to me. That's all you can do. Because you cannot physically remove somebody out of a domestic violence situation. They have to want to go. It's going to, you know, it's all about choices in your life. And I truly believe, I mean, let's start making the right choices in life. Let's bring sanity back to humanity. Because they're really, I mean, it's really insane out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always tell people to get involved, to make a difference. Call 911 if you hear somebody that's being abused, if you see it. You know, pass along that picture of a child that's been abducted. Don't think that, you know, somebody else is going to do it for you. Do it. Get involved. Make a difference in your neighborhood. Make a difference in your community, and make a difference in society. Because, you know, when I was a kid, and I'm 51 years old, and when I was a kid, we were, you know, like 10 little girls that were running from house to house in our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it was absolutely wonderful. We didn't worry about, you know, or my parents didn't worry about, are they going to make it from, you know, point A to point B.
Right.
It just was, violence wasn't as prevalent in my day for some reason, or, you know, in my little community where we lived. Maybe it was around all the time, but, you know, it just didn't seem like it was. So us as a society, us as human beings, us as individuals, we just need to do our part to make our communities safer places for our children to grow up.
Mm-hmm. Now, look,
and it's up to us.
Yeah, and I 100% agree. You know, we all have to do something. We can't just settle for it may not be happening to me, or it may not be happening to anyone in my family or anyone that I know. It's happening in our world, and so we
right.
all have to care. So I 100% agree with you on that. Okay, well, we're going to step away, give you a chance to sip on some water. You're listening to the New Women Power Talk Radio, the show that celebrates
all women over 40, 50, 60, we empower you to go for your dreams and visions no matter what, because life is just beginning and the best is yet to come. So don't ever give up on your dreams and visions. Back with more from none other than Denise Brown right after this commercial break.
Women power. Yeah, yeah. You unstoppable woman, it's your time to shine. Boom, women, turn your life around. Girl, you got the power, just know you can achieve. Can't nobody stop you if you believe. Women power. Yeah.
Are you tired of working the 9-to-5 rat race? Are you sick and tired of working for someone else and making them rich? Did you know you can make a decent-sized income right from your very own home? If this sounds too good to be true, then you better listen up. Whether you want to make an extra $250, $2,500, or even $25,000 per week, let network marketing and personal relationship marketing professional Ruth Van Buren show you how. She's built large organizations across the country and has developed a system that is fail-proof. Visit her website right now by logging on to www.vanburenenterprises.com. That's www.vanburenenterprises.com and ask for her free report. That's the 15 things to avoid in creating a successful network marketing business. Or you can call Ruth Van Buren right now at 702-354-4900. That number again is 702-354-4900. And begin creating a better life with more financial freedom for yourself.
Time for our Boomer Diva Reporter. Take it away, Leanne.
Hey, Raven. Leanne Price here, Boomer Diva Reporter from Boston, coming at you with some tips on how to feel good when you dress up in your party clothes and even when you don't. I'm talking about making your underwear wonderwear. You know, you can dress for success on the outside, but the wrong underwear can undo all that hard work by giving you bra straps hanging out in the wrong places, panty lines, or shredded back fat or muffin tops. So, here are some basic items you'll need in your panty drawer. A strapless bra. Have one in nude and one in black. And bra push-up pads. You know, they lift up what nature has dropped. Panties that don't show a panty line. Really important. And how about a push-up or minimizing bra? Pick the one you need. Hey, you gotta work with what you got, you know? And there are such things as controlled top camis. They are genius at hiding that back fat and those muffin tops. And if you're wearing a skirt, wear a slip the same length. It smooths out the look. Your underwear is the foundation of your outfit. Make it work for you. You can find me fully clothed and fabulous at www.leannpryce.com. Back to you, Raven.
Recently, I met someone, and they said to me, I think I'm being emotionally abused. And I said, if you think you're being emotionally abused, you are being abused.
Yeah,
what would you say to that person,
yeah,
and what are some of the telltale signs you have found people to say over and over again so that people can recognize if they're in the situation?
Well, you know, I mean, they talk about red flags.
Mm-hmm.
And red flags being, you know, does this person have a Jekyll and Hyde personality? Is your partner able to empathize? Does your partner get violent when drinking? Those are all telltale signs. The one thing that a lot of teenagers go through, well, why are you talking to that person? There's a lot of jealousy. What teenagers think, and I guess what adults think too, is that, oh, he's jealous. He really likes me. He cares about me. You know, he doesn't want me talking to that other guy. No, that's a red flag. If somebody tells you, why are you wearing that color lipstick? What are you trying to prove something? Or why are you wearing that skirt? It's way too short. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's like they're trying to change you. They're trying to manipulate things. They're trying to put doubt in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, people will talk to you, and if you're in a relationship, just saying that one time doesn't mean anything. But say, for instance, you're in a relationship with somebody, and he'll come to you, and he's not going to turn around and say, hey, what are you wearing that skirt for? You know, what are you trying to prove to somebody? Are you trying to be sexy or whatever, you know? They're not going to come to you and say it that way. They're going to say, listen, sweetie, you know what? That dress really isn't appropriate for the event that we're going to tonight. You think you could wear something else? You know, there's ways of saying it where you're not in an abusive relationship or you are in an abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. If somebody needs to put you down in order to get their way, you're in an abusive relationship.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not about putting somebody down. It's about respecting one another. It's about loving one another. And if you can't respect and honor, I just tell people, remember what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Know the difference between the two and always meet the challenges of doing what's right.
Right.
And, you know, to do what's right, you know, look at it this way. Would you want this person, would you want to have what this person is doing to you, would you ever do it to that person? You know, it's like one of the commandments.
Yeah.
You know, do unto others as you would have, want them to do unto you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's all about respect.
I agree. What would you say is the most important thing we should all remember when going through abuse ourselves and we have children?
Oh, man. You know, what people always think is that the kids aren't in the room.
Mm-hmm.
They're not in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not being abused. Okay? Because they're not in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you, when you live in a small house, even a big house, and the yelling and screaming starts, and things start getting thrown, your kids hear you. They hear the name calling. They hear, you know, the glasses being broken. They hear the threats, I'm going to kill you. They hear all of that. And that is extremely, extremely damaging to children. They will either grow up and become victims themselves, or they will grow up and become batterers.
Mm. Well, that's so
and
true.
I have seen so many that are in the shelters, either, you know, little girls cowering in the corner because, oh, my God, it's a new person walking into the shelter and they're scared to death.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I've seen little boys beating up pillows, beating up, you know, their stuffed animals and having those angry, angry looks on their faces. I mean, it's just the saddest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And you just sit there and you just go, God, I just want to take this little child and just hug it because, you know, they don't know love. They just know that violence and that abuse. And, you know, it affects them. It affects them so badly. I've met people that are older now, you know, flight attendants on my flights. I've met several, and I have friends that have been victims of child abuse. And they have said that they have broken the cycle because they have made that choice. Not live like their parents did. And it is about choices.
It definitely is about choices.
You can either use your fist and, you know, give somebody a black eye or knock somebody's teeth out, or you can choose not to. You can choose to walk away, or you can choose to kick that person in the face. You can choose, you know, it's all about choices that you make in life. You can either have a good life or you can have a bad life.
We give them
yes,
one time, one
and you know
shot.
What? Mm-hmm. Let's be happy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I just am always very upbeat, and I try to be as positive as I can, and I love, regardless of if it's cold or hot, I love it when the sun is shining. It makes me so happy, and it gives me this positive energy. But you know what? When I wake up in the morning, I thank God every single morning I wake up because I am still here, and I am alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And I'm not an overly religious person. I'm a spiritual person. But, you know, I just truly thank him every day that I'm still here and I have got my son and I've got my family. And, you know, I tell him to take care of Nicole and watch out for her. And, you know, I talk to him, but I'm so happy that I'm here. I'm so happy I can do what I do, and hopefully it's making a difference.
Definitely making a difference and changing lives. I always believe that we're all here for more than just taking advantage of what's on this good earth. We're all here to give back in some kind of way. And this is just where you've been placed.
to do the remarkable job that you've done and to help people and to hear these stories, to make sure the voices that are talking to you, their message get carried on. And
but unfortunately, it took my sister's life to this position, to get to this place. And that's why I tell people, get educated on the issue of domestic violence. So a tragedy like ours that touched our family touches theirs. Learn something about it. Three women die every day from the hands of someone they love and someone they're supposed to be able to trust and count on, then we've got a problem here.
Absolutely.
We have a huge problem here. So we really need to make a difference, and each and every one of us needs to get involved.
Well, I know you had a lot to do with some of the laws. Tell us a little bit about that. What type of federal laws do we have to protect and assist women who are being physically or emotionally abused?
Oh, God. You know what? I wish there was more. federal. Well, we've got the Violence Against Women Act, and I was a part of the very first Violence Against Women Act back in 95.
Mm-hmm.
I was asked to go out to Congress, and that was co-authored by Senator Biden, Joe Biden, our new vice president-elect, Joe Biden, and Senator Orrin Hatch.
Oh, okay.
They were co-authors of that. And that came about a second time now, and which is great. And that gives funding to shelters and, different kinds of programs, law enforcement programs and different things, crime victims. So we have that. We've got a federal law, a nationwide federal law in place that, states need to acknowledge restraining orders in other states. I wish it would happen more. I wish people would actually recognize them state to state, but they're working on it and they're doing it. I think that what we need is we need more uniformity, and we need more federal laws, and we need more people educated on things that we can do to get more uniformity, because these laws are so fragmented state by state. I just always think there's definitely room for more. You know, Raven, there's in each state, and I don't know what all the laws are in each state. If I did, I'd be brilliant. I'd be a genius. But they're just over county lines, over city lines. The laws are different. So I just tell people, try to get some uniformity just in your own community to go over to the next county, so that if a victim goes across county lines, she's not being charged for kidnapping if she's running for her life and going to a shelter. You know, so they go to extremes. I mean, they use different things against them. So I just always say, let's get some uniformity. Let's get some laws placed that go over county lines, work together, and let's improve those.
Tell us about Nicole House. How long has that been in existence now?
Well, see, Nicole's House is a vision, and our vision of Nicole's House is a transitional housing. We talk about Nicole's House.
Okay.
This is something that we want to do, we want to implement, if the time is right.
Oh, okay.
We don't have a shelter. We don't have a transitional house yet. I think that what we're doing now is spreading the word on the necessity of transitional housing. I would love to see a Nicole's House, absolutely, but I just think it's more important right now. You know, we were raising funds for Nicole's House, and a shelter in Findlay, Ohio, they lost their boiler because of a flood that Findlay, Ohio had last year. So we ended up giving them $10,000 so that they could buy a boiler so that the victims and their children had a place to stay and they had heat.
Oh, fantastic. You okay, know, so Nicole's House is virtual then.
Well, Nicole's House is, and they need transitional housing all across the country, and that's
right.
What we talk about.
Yeah.
And, you know, if there's a need for us to give money and we have it, that's what we're going to do. We're not a granting organization, and we haven't been since the year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if we do have the money like we did and we helped, that's what we're going to do. We're going to utilize our monies and our funds for things that are important. And if Nicole's House, you know, we can always raise more money from the Nicole's House.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's what's going to happen, it's going to happen. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. There's a huge need for it, but you know what? There's a huge need for a lot of other things.
One of the things that you've done also is started what, Hands Are Not For Hitting program?
Well, we didn't start it.
Okay.
No, that's from the Minnesota Coalition for Battered Women.
Oh, okay. I think that's a great program.
They started the Hands Are Not For Hitting program, and it's a curriculum that goes into the school systems, or you just take a week and you educate the kids about domestic violence, and it's kindergarten through sixth grade. But the neatest part of it is there's one part of the program where kids put their hands on a piece of paper and they trace the outline of their hand.
Mm-hmm.
They color it whatever colors they want to, and then they write sayings on them. And then they take their pledge. Hands are not for hitting. Words are not for hurting. My hand will not commit violence.
I think that's
and
wonderful.
And I'll tell you, it is such a great program.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, I still get little hands in the mail.
Well, you know what? It's a wonderful program because that's where it could start. I mean, this is the next generation. So if we can bring awareness to them when they're young, they're going to form the habit of not hitting or not wanting to hit because they know how devastating it can be, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the hands are not for hitting. It's about bullying also, you know. We used to go, oh, isn't that cute? You know, Susie pushed Johnny or pinched Johnny, and Susie likes Johnny. And, you know, we used to always think, oh, isn't that so cute? Well, it's not so cute because that pinch turns into a shove, turns into a kick, turns into a hit, and there you got it, bullying.
There you have it. There, before you know it's spreading, and even people sometimes they'll start playing that way, and before you know it, it gets serious, and somebody's hurt.
And somebody's hurt,
mm-hmm.
absolutely. So we need to stop it before it even starts. We need to educate our kids the good things that hands are for. You know, a nice friendly hug, shaking hands, playing an instrument, whatever good things hands are for, and that's what we need to teach our kids. And we as parents, as grandparents, as sisters, as brothers, as fathers, as uncles, we need to give our children that chance and that opportunity, and we need to be the role models, and we need to stand up and, you know, teach our children that, you know, to respect one another, to love one another, to, you know, teach them good things, be good role models, and that's our job as parents.
Yeah. You know, I want to talk about your book because, wow, what a title. And hopefully I get this right now. If Our Kitchen Table Could Talk From One Friend to Another. Now,
that's it. My very first book.
Your very first book. If Our Kitchen Table Could Talk From One Friend to Another. You're self-publishing this dynamic book. Can you share just a little bit and where people can get it?
Well, actually, the reason I did it was because not everybody comes to listen to me speak. I travel around the country. I speak a lot. And not everybody comes to listen to me speak. I figured any which way,
mm-hmm.
be it radio, be it television, be it books, be it magazines, newspapers, any which way to get information out to communities is important. And I just thought, you know what? Let's write something. Let's do something. Let's talk about you know, good love, toxic love. Let's talk about good fear, bad fear. Talk about forgiveness. It took me 13 years to get over the anger after losing my sister, but I've been able to do it. Let's let people know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Let's talk about being your own knight in shining armor. And that's in here. People always think that there's something better, and this guy's going to sweep me off my feet, and he's going to take care of me, and he's going to do this, and he's going to do that. And then all of a sudden, he turns into this monster. So let's be your own knight in shining armor. And then it's about mapping your own destination. And it talks about different kinds of books that are really great to read, The Four Agreements, The Gift of Fear. It talks about the cycle of domestic violence. And then it talks about that little story in the beginning on why we do this and why I ended up writing my own book and the reasons and the reason why I self-published, because I didn't want anybody telling me how I had to write a book. I felt like this was important information. The 24-hour domestic violence hotline number is in here. And I just thought it was going to be a series of four, and there's going to be another one with child abuse, and then there's going to be the teen violence, and then there's going to be domestic violence in animals.
So it'll
be a series of four, yeah.
Mm, mm, mm. Well, we're going to have to follow you on all those, that's for sure, and you're definitely stepping out there where all the need is in domestic violence and abuse, of pets been abused, children are being abused, and it just goes on and on. As I sat here and interviewed you today, again, thank you so much for the honor, but I couldn't help but imagine, Denise, that there must have been some times you felt like, wow, I just can't do this. These stories are breaking my heart. I'm going through still the grieving and the anger with my sister. I got to ask you, how did you push past the many deeply sad days and many challenges you found yourself facing when you first began this journey?
Well, not even just when I first began, but I mean, sometimes I get so frustrated with people and with things that are happening in this movement, that I sit there and I go, why am I doing this? You know, I feel like I'm spinning my circle sometimes or spinning my wheel sometimes, and I do get frustrated, and I do think, you know, why am I doing this?
Yeah,
but you know why I'm doing this, Raven? It's for the women and children that are in those shelters. It's for the people, the victims of domestic violence that are out there. I do it because I don't want another tragedy like ours happening to another family. I don't want another murder. I don't want another victim of domestic violence. I want our society to be fair, kind, and hopeful so that we can live in a violent-free environment. I want to be able to have my grandkids. I just don't want anybody to have to go through this because it's just such a sad, sad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it just devastates families and friends and communities. That's why I'm doing it.
Yeah.
That's why I continue doing it.
Well, thank you for doing what you do because you are definitely changing lives, and I can just imagine what you must feel sometimes, and we're just glad that you haven't thrown your hands up and that you keep on keeping on because I have been through that. I am one of those stories that you have heard, and that's part of why I do this show every year. I like to take out some time to, you know, dedicate the whole month to this because it's something that's passionate to me. And I know that there's so many people, even in their midlife, I get emails. Every time I do these shows, I kid you not, Denise, I get emails from my listeners, and they're saying, thank you. Yes, I am abused.
Yeah.
And so it is still happening,
yeah,
ladies, in your midlife. It is.
Absolutely. You keep doing your part, Raven. I'll keep doing my part, and we're going to be working together closely so that we can one day say, you know what? I've worked my way out of a job.
Absolutely. I am looking forward to doing many more things with you, for sure. Denise, as we close out the show, this Women Power is to empower and inspire and motivate the women in 40, 50, 60 and up that they can do anything they want. They can stop settling. They can go for their dreams and visions. For those that are still quiet, having that hope, having that shame, having that fear, what do you have to say to them about taking control of their life and just doing what they want, enjoying life?
Well, you know, like we were talking before, it's about choices.
Mm-hmm.
It's about choices in your life. But the one thing that I do say, and I like to say over and over again, is if they hit you once, they're going to hit you again.
Mm-hmm.
And if they ever threaten to kill you, eventually one day they will.
Ooh, yes.
They will. And, you know, so it's all about choices. It's all about empowering yourself. And, you know, you talk about education, empowering and inspiring,
mm-hmm,
and that's why I wrote this little book, so that somebody doesn't fall victim to domestic violence.
Mm.
That's why I did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it is to empower. It is to inspire someone. So, I mean, we'll all do our little parts, and we'll continue doing our little parts. And like I said, hopefully one day domestic violence will no longer be.
I appreciate you being here, and I want to go out by saying, again, Denise Brown's book is If Our Kitchen Table Could Talk, From One Friend to Another. Denise, can you give the hotline number, and then could you give them your website as we close out
sure.
the show?
The 24-hour domestic violence hotline is 1-800-799-SAFE, 7233, and my website is denisebrown.com.
Now, for those that may want to come out and hear you, are you going to be in the country for a while, or anywhere they can
actually
come here?
I am only here in California for the next week, and I'm not speaking. I just came back from Michigan, which
mm-hmm.
was my last speaking event of the year.
Okay.
And I am going to be out of the country for 4 weeks.
Enjoying life, huh? Relaxing a little bit.
I need to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a crazy busy month, and it's been a crazy busy year, so now I get to take time for me.
And we all have to do that, don't we?
Yes, we do. We got to keep our sanity.
Well, thank you, Denise, for coming to Women Power. You truly are an unstoppable woman of power, and we're definitely going to add a link to your book onto our website, Women Power, so they can go to denisebrown.com, or you can go to womenpower-radio.com. And we're here to promote you and your cause because your cause is my cause. So thank you for doing what you've done. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Raven.
All right, everyone, you've been listening to Women Power Talk Radio, www.womenpower-radio.com. Remember, life is just beginning and the best is yet to come, so don't ever, ever let anyone tell you that you can't do it, and don't you ever give up on your dreams and visions. We'll see you next week. Until then, God bless and much prosperity.
The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. An awesome responsibility worthy of love, worthy of respect. Yet women are beaten, abused, and even murdered in their own homes every single day. Women crippled in destructive relationships are sadly still role models, passing this chain of hopelessness to their daughters and the title of abusers to their sons. A woman's shelter is sometimes the only answer to a fleeing woman and her children. Do you know where the shelters are in your community? Have you ever seen one? If not, go visit. Ask yourself, is it a place you'd find comforting? Is it a place you find safe? And while you heal and begin again, is it a place you want to stay? Shelters is more than a roof. Shelters are more than a meal. Remember, healing can only happen if you want to stay. Do you really want to make a difference? Visit www.terrysenchantedcottage.com and see how one woman with a dream made a difference. You know what? You can too.